Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another Dystiotic Confusion Thursday Night Hangout.
What's up, Mr. W?
What's up, Zelius? I, of course, am your host, Charlie, and I'm joined once again by the prolific comer himself. Oh, I already said Zelius, but I'm going to say it again. Zelius!
What's up?
What's up?
So, how are you doing on this wonderful Thursday night of July 2nd? We're halfway through the year of 2020.
I feel like I've aged like 40 years.
Which is funny, because you look younger than last week.
It's because I'm wearing a hat.
The hat does help.
And I also trimmed up the beard.
Ah, yes, the good old trimmity trim.
Yep.
Do you feel lighter?
Well, the amount of hair on top of my head has made up for the lack, the trimming of hair around the face.
It could be so aerodynamic when you move about the basketball court.
I believe aerodynamic would require me to shave my hair.
But at least if it's trimmed down, you don't have quite as many bristles going free.
Touché. True, true. And I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But right now, there's no basketball in the near future.
What if you dribbled a basketball on the bridge?
I'll probably lose it.
Maybe that's good practice. Think about how accurate you have to be not to like bounce it incorrectly. That could be a really good practice for kids wanting to learn to dribble and like so the ball goes exactly where he wants so it doesn't go like on a crossbeam and bounce the wrong way.
No. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought I was on something.
Ladies and gentlemen, this, of course, is the Thursday Night Hangout. This is a show for you, by you, where you, ladies and gentlemen, the audience members, can drop subjects, ask questions, add your opinions, your thoughts, your criticisms in the chat, and we will try to cover them as best we can.
Just don't criticize Charlie. He tries.
We currently are streaming on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, and because of some weird glitches with the chat room showing up, I have all three chat rooms opened up right now. So if you may not see the chat actually pop up on the computer or on the our show screen, but have no fear, I do see I have the Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube open.
So does only the Twitch show up on the actual stream?
Right now it is. I don't know what happened. 2 weeks ago, like YouTube was there, but it was basically, you know, spamming with the same word over and over and over again.
Yep, that was quite entertaining. I do remember that.
Yes. So anyways, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump right into it. The first thing that I want to talk about is the conventions, or should I say the state of conventions that we see today.
Or don't see.
True. Okay, so as many of you know, there's been, I don't know, basically every single convention under the sun has thrown in the towel. With the exception, the two exceptions I could think of off the top of my head are, of course, Dragon Con and Anime Week in Atlanta. Ironically, both in the city of Atlanta. Now, that being said, there is a caveat for Dragon Con. My sources say that Dragon Con's actually canceled, but it can't say that it's canceled. It has to wait for the city of Atlanta to force it to cancel to cover for insurance to cover it.
So what you're saying is it's not canceled.
No. It is canceled,
but it's not,
but they can't announce it for insurance purposes.
So they're not going to cancel it. The city doesn't shut them down. Basically.
They're not going to cancel it, which will force the city to shut them down so they can get the insurance money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. So it's not shut down.
Sure.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I did put in my membership transfer today, actually, to make it official.
There you go. Roll over. Even though, 21.
Yeah. I mean, but again, I'm also kind of under the same assumption, I think, 90% of the population is, and that the city will end up canceling it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Along with AWA also. I would imagine that will also be canceled at some point in the maybe more distant future, but not too distant future.
Well, AWA still, that's Halloween, I believe. So, yeah.
Got a little bit of time still.
But probably not going to happen anyways. Okay, so speaking of conventions, and you know, we've already talked about Dragon Con and AWA. There, of course, have been a ton of conventions that have gone virtual. And then there are some conventions that have appeared for virtual that have never been done before. Basically, real quick, I've got a list. I'm going to start with the one that's going to happen the one that's going to happen like in 2 days.
2 days.
Well, sort of. Okay, so Evo Online, which of course is the fighting tournament thing that's usually over an extended weekend, because it's going virtual, they decided that they're going to do a different event every weekend in July. So the start of the first thing for Evo Online starts July 4th through the 5th, and then the following weekend, 11th through the 12th, then the 18th through the 19th, then the 23rd through the 26th, and just for shits and giggles, it goes July 31st to August the 2nd. So that is Evo Online.
Are you going to be paying attention to Evo Online since
If there comes a time where I should know about some crazy ass thing that happened on Evo, I will catch it in the highlights on YouTube.
I see.
Now let's talk about a convention that just appeared out of the blue because it is online. And that of course is Adult Swim Con, which is going to happen July 23rd through the 25th. This of course is all about Adult Swim. They are a little bit light on details, but pretty sure you're going to have some voice actors in there and some freebie stuff as well. So keep an eye out on that.
Including the Samurai Jack game.
Dude. Oh, that's right. When is that coming? Have they announced the release for the Samurai Jack game?
It just says featuring exclusive events. I do not actually see a date for it.
Okay, because I know that it's scheduled for the future on the Switch. It's on my wish list, so that's why I ask.
Ah, I see.
Yes. Okay, so that's Adult Swim Con is July 23rd through the 25th. Then, of course, we had the San Diego Comic-Con, which is humongous, and of course, that definitely got canceled early on. There is going to be a San Diego Comic-Con online that's going to happen from July 26th through the 26th. Sorry, 22nd through the 26th. You can still... the thing is with all these like online conventions, I'm very curious to see like how much content, like, you know, high grade talent they're going to be able to pull in. I'm assuming that you're probably going to be able to do it because I'm sure that they'll probably work a deal where the talent won't get the full amount that they were due for doing this, but they're locked away anyway. So they'll still take like a fraction of it and they don't have to mess with room and board and food.
It is kind of amusing because like you look on San Diego Comic-Con's website, mm-hmm. and you can still see the floor map of like where the vendors would have been.
Yep.
So it could be fun. It kind of be interesting to do like a cross analysis of the two to see like what the difference is.
Yes, it would. Now let's go for a more, analog type of convention. That of course is Gen Con. Gen Con is going to go do a Gen Con live. Gen Con online. And it's basically Gen Con is basically like grandfather of like the pencil and paper, tabletop, board games, card games. If you can do well at that as a game developer, then you probably made it.
And it's only 28 days away.
Yeah. So once again, it's July 30th through the August the 2nd. I might actually tune into it because it's, where is this? Wisconsin or something? It's not an easy place to get to. But I might actually tune into that one just to see like what cool, crazy stuff is happening. Because you never know. I mean, this is how you find out about amazing board games or pencil paper RPGs that you may not know about because they're not mainstream.
This seems right up Craig Campbell's alley.
Craig's been to Gen Con.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Definitely seems like his jam.
Now, speaking of Craig Campbell, the amazing mastermind behind Nerdburger, there is going to be a Nerdburger Con online.
What?
That's going to happen August the 14th through the 16th. If you're looking for more details, just go to Nerdburger. Just look it up on Facebook, I think. It'll give you a Google form to fill out. And they'll basically update you with all the the information on what's going down. But I have signed up because I'm very curious to see what Craig has up his sleeves. Could this be like, now, of course, this is me just, you know, hoping, fingers crossed, that maybe this could be like a new iteration of an Andocon-ish experience. Maybe.
I could see that, but online.
Yeah. Ooh, no, no. Anyways, so mark your calendars, August the 14th through the 16th. You don't want to miss it. Find out all the information. Craig Campbell, amazing guy, awesome games.
Well, because he did a lot of work, too, at the Kickstarter for Andocon.
Yes, he did.
So he's got that experience as far as organizing, putting together. So it's not just, you know, obviously Craig has a lot of experience in the realm anyways of pen and pencil RPGs. Yep. But he had that experience of Andocon, and it seems like a natural fit to me.
Well, I mean, also, he's got, you know, he's got contacts with some of the, some really good names. I mean, he's got Eddie Webb, he's got Sean Patrick Fannin, he's got Derek Kamal, and of course himself. I mean, that's...
He's got Charlie Hawkins.
Yeah, he's got Alter Confusion in his back pocket. I mean, come on, he's got Ando, for God's sakes.
What else does he actually need?
I don't know. I really don't know. Ah, Louis Pluster III.
Mm.
Which, God damn it, Louis, wherever the hell you are, I need the next Ukamog book.
Has it been released?
No.
Oh, well,
he's got three in a novella. He's doing better than Rothfuss, though.
Well, and they're all doing better than George R. R. Martin.
Is he dead yet? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, too soon, man. Too soon.
Okay, so let's move on to the next convention here. As we mentioned before, it's Dragon Con. Dragon Con currently is not, or maybe might be in the future, but isn't currently canceled. However, you can roll over your registration to 2021. My recommendation is to just go ahead and do it. Dragon Con is supposed to happen September 3rd through the 7th.
The funny thing is, you can still buy your 2020 membership.
Yep.
So what if you do this? What if you buy your 2020 membership and then you roll it over to 2021, knowing the price is going to go up next year?
Brilliant! Actually, shit, people, get in on that.
I mean, in a way, that would actually kind of work.
Well, I mean, you got to take into consideration. There's probably going to be what an early bird special, so you still might not save as much money. I don't know.
That's actually a good point. Yes, because you're right. When you buy it for right now for next year, it would probably be $90 for the 3-day pass. Yep. Versus now, if you buy the 3-day pass, it's gonna be. That's a good point. Never mind, I was wrong.
It was. I like where your head was, though. I like that train of thought. Okay. You're okay, Zealous. You're okay.
Yeah, so a full membership right now will be $140.
That's what I figured. I was going to say about
$150. Oh, interesting. They do have a streaming-only membership. I didn't actually know that.
Yes, that's...
Now, I don't anticipate...
I guess taking a page out of BlizzCon's book?
Well, because they do have DragonCon TV, where basically all of the panels... They are live streamed.
Not all of them, but yes, the main ones.
Well, you're right. So the bigger ones are all streamed.
Yeah.
So I can see the value of that part at least. But even if it happens, I could definitely still foresee a lot of the big names canceling out this year regardless.
Oh, God. I would be very surprised if the big names are still going. As far as I know, I'm going to Atlanta. I don't think anyone's coming to Atlanta.
Well, I think that's the key is... You know, part of, you know, you go to Dragon Con kind of, you know, part is to people and part is go to the bigger names. And if they're not going to be there, and a big thing people love, like the Artist Alley, and they love going to the Walk of Fame, they love getting the pictures with the famous people. Mm-hmm. And if they're not going to be there anyways, it kind of loses a little bit of that luster anyways. So, yeah.
Random question. I can't remember downtown. What county is that? Is that Fulton or is that DeKalb?
I'm pretty sure that's Fulton County.
Okay. Because I was going to say, for those out there who are not in the Georgia Atlanta area, DeKalb County sent out a massive alert this morning about a rise in COVID-19 cases.
Really?
Fulton County, however, did not. So I was just very curious.
Looking up online. Yeah, it's definitely Fulton.
Okay.
It's close to the line.
Okay, so DragonCon, maybe, yes, no, I don't know. another big convention that happens right around that same time, Rooster Teeth Expo, which was supposed to happen in Texas. I think it's Austin, Texas. It has been completely canceled. Should have been September 3rd through the 8th. They are thinking about doing an online event. However, the prediction is that it's going to be later this year. They're not going to try to fill that same spot.
Yeah, I mean, that one I could see being online because
that's where they started.
So much of Roasted Teeth is online. Yeah. I mean, it's anime and stuff. So that one, at least I could see the logic on that one for them to be able to present, you know, this is what we're doing with our new shows next year. Here's some previews, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And then finally, one other convention that happens during that, you know, the September 3rd through the 7th time frame, because of course we said Dragon Con, now we said Rooster Teeth. The other big one, of course, is PAX. And now PAX Prime, the one in Seattle, has gone on record and said that they're canceling it. However, they're going to make a PAX Online. Now, PAX Online is actually not going to be in that exact date time slot. They're going to do it from September 12th through the 20th. So, so they're going to need a little extra time to make sure they get everything in order. But there's still going to be some sort of PAX for everyone to check out.
It's not just 24/7. It's 24/9.
Yes, I know. I saw that. Anywho, so that's your convention update. I feel like there's one that I'm forgetting, but there's always going to be conventions out there that, you know, are on the outside, and I forgot about them.
There's always another convention that is meant to be happening.
Now, the question I have is, are we to the point, and this is just an opinion, Zelius.
Sure.
Are we to the point where we should have some concerns for conventions that are happening in January and February of 2021? So early 2021.
My unfortunate opinion is yes. You look around, particularly in the United States, mm-hmm. and you look at states that are opening to mass congregations.
Yep.
And what are you seeing is the cases are going up. And I know some people say it's because of increased testing. Well, guess what? We've had increased testing for like 2 to 3 months now.
Yep.
We're past that point of that being a reason for the increased rate. It's because you're having more interaction. Yep. Now the question comes is, and this is a separate discussion, is there's come a point where you just say screwed and get herd mentality, basically, mm-hmm. At a certain point. And I'm not an epidemiologist, so I don't have the answer to that question. But at a certain point, you just say, we've had enough of the population to basically get it, or just can move on with life. Because the reality is at a convention, you're not going to be able to do proper social distancing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
No.
Or if you do, it's going to be such a lack of experience that basically defeats the purpose of going to convention in the first place.
And I'm going on my opinion. Record and say, I of course, you know, there's never been anything quite like COVID-19 out there. However, when the swine flu was in mm-hmm. full swing, I was at PAX Prime and I got it. And my wife did as well. We actually took it along with basically everyone on a freaking airplane going from Washington to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, and that was scary as shit because, you know, swine flu is a nasty ass flu. And now, of course, it's not as bad as COVID-19, but still, that little sampling of what can happen and how fast that shit could spread.
Mm-hmm. And a big part of it, too, will also be the whole idea of when/if there will be a immunization against right. COVID-19.
Right.
And not only that, but how effective is it? Because mm-hmm. just because you actually have a shot to help out with COVID doesn't necessarily give it 100% efficacy. So that's part. It's not just do you have the immunization. It's how reliable is it? Does it work on everyone?
More like, isn't it going to end up being more like the flu shot where there's going to be differing degrees of, I guess, success?
That's the question. And part of the issue with the flu is it's not just the success, it's you have various strands.
Right.
And that's part of, I mean, COVID-19, it's actually SARS, basically a variation of SARS. Mm-hmm. And the question is, right now, it's actually been very fortunate in that basically it's one strand of this COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Because basically, to your point, asking about the immunization, whereas if it does mutate, we're screwed. Because then, and they've already actually shown that people who have had coronavirus, because normally you get a virus, right? Yep. And basically, you get the antibodies, so you can't get it again. Life goes on. Mm-hmm. The problem they're finding the coronavirus, that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
People who have it once are actually getting it again, which is like, well, that sucks.
There's also cases of individuals who have gone through COVID-19 and gone to the other side, yet will still test positive, even if they're no longer contagious and they're not showing symptoms.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of still unknowns as far as the coronavirus itself goes that we're still kind of wading our way through.
The unfortunate thing is I know that last bit for a fact because my cousin got through COVID-19, but she still to this day tests positive even though she's completely through.
Now, is she testing positive for COVID-19 or testing positive for the antibodies? Those are two different things. Yeah. So, like, I got the actual COVID testing at the drive-thru, and that just tests for the test. Like, do you have corona? It's not actually the antibodies.
Right.
So, that further makes it a little bit more complicated.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, let's move on to something a little bit happier, shall we?
Yay! I love happy news.
All right. So, as you might have noticed, I feel like everybody and their mother is trying to get a TV show these days. Of course, a lot of video games or video games and graphic novels are basically the hot ticket item. They're making a Cyberpunk 2077 anime, which I think Zelius, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was scheduled for, was it 2022?
Yeah, it sounds right. Yeah. I remember seeing it. It was like, oh, that's a couple years off.
And then it was just announced that Amazon Studios has licensed the rights to the worldwide best-selling game franchise Fallout, which will be... So they're going to be making a Fallout TV series.
Fascinating.
And the individuals behind this... What was it? What have they already done? I felt like there was... Westworld. The same team behind Westworld.
I tried watching Westworld. I just could not get into it.
Well, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it's going to be like the next Game of Thrones. So I tried to get into it, and it's interesting. But, you know, I think because I didn't have as much connection with Westworld as I had with Game of Thrones, because I had read the first four books before the show even started. So I was already invested. With Westworld, it seemed interesting,
I just could not get into it, which sucks because I love the actor, the guy's name, the older white dude.
Ed Harris?
Ed Helm. Harris? Yeah. Harris. Yeah, he's a great actor. He's probably my favorite actor in The Rock, actually. But I just couldn't get into it.
Sean Connery will always be it for me. Anyways, this is just an announcement. Of course, when they announce that something's going to happen, is it going to happen? Don't know. That's probably a couple of years down the road, but it is very interesting. Fallout would be a very interesting TV series. I know that they've been kind of dabbling outside of the RPG stuff with like Fallout Shelter, and then they did the online thing. Is that still on?
You know what Fallout actually reminds me of? If it were a television series, is The 100.
See, I never watched The 100.
It's literally a post-apocalyptic television series. Defiance.
Yeah, Defiance.
Full of characters, though, who have to, like, for instance, like shelter in Mount Weather.
You mean like Defiance?
They didn't actually. They were actually like out in the open in St. Louis, though.
Yes, but there was shit from the sky that could fall at any moment and kill everybody.
So, between Defiance and the 100, I feel like, in a way, it already has been done. So I'm like. We'll see.
I mean, let's be honest. The vast majority of games and TV shows and movies and stuff, you could really kind of like boil it down to it's just a copy of this, but they made it slightly different. I mean, that's mean, that's basically every game out there.
Sure.
But I'll be, like I said, I'll be very interested to see what comes of this. I'll definitely keep an eye on it. I you know, what I'd really like to see is who they're going to grab for, like, the leads, if it actually gets that far. But grabbing the team behind Westworld, I could see that working.
I mean, it at least gives you a known quantity as far as people who've done, you know, we didn't get it Westworld, but obviously a lot of people did.
Well, I mean, it's a very large scale looking, you know, Westworld is big. And Fallout is going to be big.
Westworld's basically an open world television show.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting. We'll see. Now, let's
the question is, what type of stats will the lead character have? Would it be your, I have 22 strength, but I'm an idiot? Or could you go the other way around, where maybe they have no strength, but they're super intelligent, they could talk their way out of everything?
I think or are they just more of the
balanced character?
I would say that your main person is probably going to be more balanced character, but they're going to have a sidekick that's all muscle, and you're going to have a sidekick who is super duper cunning, and you don't really know if they're with you or against you.
They're, ooh, wow. You should be a show writer, sir.
We'll see. Speaking of which, I have been working on, this is probably not
that. I'm writing a show?
No, I've been writing a story.
About Stephen Hawke?
No. This one is about the main characters are named Icarus, BB, and Pixie.
Icarus? Is this like a homage to the god?
So, real quick, there's a guy who wakes up in a underground prison cell. He has no idea who the hell he is. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. He gets rescued by a person, a female named Pixie, and then a bear of a man named BB.
Isn't this like the opening scene of Baldur's Gate?
Probably. I don't remember. Yeah. Anyways, so they rescue him. They come out into the world, which is completely, it's, you know, apocalyptic. Shit, something's happened. And that's all I'm going to tell you about it.
Something happened.
Yeah. And so Pixie's not a real name. BB's not his real name. And then Icarus, since he can't think of a name, he can't think of his own name, he just goes, you know.
What is a real name, really, though?
I guess it depends on.
It's the name you're given, the name you go by. Is it the name people call you? I don't know.
I mean, because.
Is it the legal name on a document?
My legal name is not the same as my name.
I'm going to start calling your legal name, I think.
Don't do that. It's very confusing. There's four Whatever. Of us.
Chuckyolosis.
No, that's not my legal name. Anyways, so moving on. There has been rumors of a pricing guide for the launch of the PlayStation 5. Currently, the rumored launch for the PlayStation 5 is going to be in Japan on November 14th. And then in less than a week later, November 20th, the PlayStation 5 is supposed to come out worldwide. Currently, it looks like they are guesstimating the price for the Blu-ray console being at $500, the digital edition console being at $400.
Yep. That sounds about right to me.
Which seems right about right. Like, yeah, as we stated before, I felt like there had to be a good amount of difference between the two systems.
None.
I mean, you know, I would have liked to see maybe like the digital version being. That's about right. I don't think that. I mean, I would love to see it at 250, but that's not going to happen.
Oof! If the digital version was 250, man, that would.
No, sorry, 350.
Okay. Sorry, still, 350. I mean, that would definitely undercut whatever Xbox is going to do.
Yeah, well, yeah. But some of the other stuff is like the DualSense controller. They're saying it's $60. The charging station is about $30. HD cameras could be $60. The 3D headset, whatever it's going to be called, that's going to be your the hell do they call it? Morbius? Was that what they called it for a while? It's going to be your VR helmet. they're guessing a price of $160 for that. Your PS5 remote control, so that, you know, you don't have to use your controller, but actually, you know, like have a TV controller to you know, navigate around. They're guessing that at $30. And then this is what is always weird for me. The vertical stand, because apparently this behemoth of a fucking console requires a vertical stand, even though all the damn pictures show it standing vertically up. The vertical stand is going to be $25.
That's just piss poor engineering to me.
Look, every single fucking picture has it standing tall. So you would assume that it would be safe for it to be standing tall, and you wouldn't have to spend an extra $25 to make sure that it's sturdily standing tall.
Unless you happen to have a breathing animate object around your house that may like to see the world perish, being it small children or animals.
No, I think, you know, to be honest with you, I think that all you got to do is, if you have a little bit of a weak spot in your floor and you stomp or maybe throw the controller, hell, I don't think if you threw the controller, I don't think that stand would really help, depending on how
I
you
think
hit.
That's just a terrible idea in general, to throw your controller, let's be honest.
But let's talk about rage. You know,
there are, they have therapy for that, or more alcohol.
Yeah, that too.
So, you know, the question comes, so somebody like myself, right? I don't own any Blu-rays, and I honestly don't plan on buying Blu-rays. I am not you. Mm-hmm. But then I look at it, and we all know I'm the bargain bin shopper.
Yep.
I like to wait for things are on sale. Yep. So the question is, for the extra $100, am I kind of future-proofing myself for the future for when those AAA titles come onto sale at the store for $5 or $10, whatever they are used?
You talk about games?
Yes, specifically video games.
To be honest with you, I don't think that it would be worth it, to be honest with you, because I think that we're seeing this migration to more digital distribution. I mean, that's where everyone wants to go. So I think that if you want to do the extra $100, it's because you want to play movies or shows on disc format. Now, getting the extra, you know, paying the extra $100 and then bargain bin surfing for obscure shit that you're not going to find on a streaming service, but you really, really like, it depends on how much obscure shit you want.
Well, like most in the past, most of my bargain bin shopping has been like at a GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's that?
4 to 5 years from now, will I even still be able to go there to buy my used games? Because I've never been an eBay shopper. I'm not about to start. I like to kind of go there and see, you know, does the disc actually exist? And it's not, you know, scratched to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So will that format even exist in that form? I don't know.
I don't think so. To be honest with you, like I said, I think we're at the stage where digital distribution is a much better solution for everyone involved.
Well, I definitely think this is the last console of physical disc for games.
Yeah. If the PlayStation 6 comes out somewhere down the road, there's no way that they would have, unless they're marketing it as can also play Blu-rays.
True.
You're not going to play any games. Because
you still have this generation, the PS5 and the Xbox Series 1 are still going to have the titles, at least the AAA titles, still have the physical disc format.
Yes.
So I still think for the AAAs, at least, there's still going to be the used market. I think it's actually the indie titles where you might not see a used market at all, because what incentive do they have to create a physical disc?
I don't think there's really a used indie market now, because in order for it to be even feasible for independent independent for them to actually make anything, what they're putting it on their digital platform of choice or all the digital platforms they could find, and then they're trying to market it that way. Trying to average in the cost for printing out the discs, the cases, the slip covers, the regioning for the stuff, distribution to the stores, physical shelving. I mean, that's way too much money.
It's not worth it, because, you know, maybe 10 years ago it was, but now
I wouldn't even say 10, I would say like 15 years ago.
honestly, even, especially now, there's so it's almost like the perfect store right now of people just not going to the store anymore. And so it's not even worth it to put it on the shelf because nobody's going to, you know, you still have, let's be honest, grandparents going to Best Buy or Target to buy it for the grandkids for like Christmas and whatnot. Other than that, it's kind of like, why buy physical games?
To be honest with you, I think we're at the point where grandparents are just told, buy a gift card.
True.
Buy a gift card and buy the kid some socks and some underwear and a button-down shirt and some dress slacks because that fucker only has cargo pants. Oh, wait, that's me.
I will say, in general, though, like $400 for the PS5, I think on the scheme of things, that's a reasonable price for what you're getting.
I agree. Yeah, I have no qualms about that price point.
Now, the interesting thing is going to be, how does the Xbox Series X respond with their pricing? Because I think if they come out with the only models $500 and they don't have a $400 price point, they're going to be hurting from the beginning again.
We'll see.
That's my
very, very interesting
2 cents, that if they don't have that pricing model from the beginning to meet PlayStation, they're in trouble.
I agree.
But it has more cycling power.
Sure, why not? All right, so ladies,
more pixels, man.
Oh God. Let's see here. Physical copies equals cheap. Stores often discount prices to get rid of overstock. There is no overstock of digital copies. Right. But the problem is creating that physical game. That's because you're talking about having to actually have inventory. And chances are, unless you are like a super duper big name company, you're not going to be able to handle the distribution. Creating it is a net loss. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Tara Lagging.
I feel like I'm lagging now. Like every time I see that name, I'm like, I'm lagging. Or is that just Charlie's internet? It's hard to tell.
Tara Lagging says, but from the customer standpoint, there is an advantage in buying them. Yeah. I mean, there isn't. The problem is that with a physical copy, and Zelius and I have talked about this many, many times, is that with a physical, Terra Online had a very laggy... Zelius, did you play Terra Online?
Yeah, I played Terra. It was okay.
The thing is, for me, for Alter Confusion, I've been, you know, I'm a very avid supporter of the independent creators space. And so I know I've also been around the game industry, have friends still in the game industry, was actually physically in the game industry for a little bit. I know how sucky the developers get screwed when it comes to physical copies. So I'm all for digital copies to basically knock out the used game marketplace, but also cut down on costs. Now, of course, you know, we were talking about last week, there was an ex Sony exec who was going, you know, $59.99 is too low of a price point for the amount of money we're spending on the games. We got to make the game shorter or something like that.
Oh, so two things. One is, the one thing I do miss about physical games, though, is having the, and granted, certain wives in the world may not mind, but having shelves full of, like, sleeves.
Yes.
Like, to me, it's artwork in a way. There's an art piece to that, which I think is cool. But speaking of pricing, did you see the NBA 2K21 announcement about pricing? Mm-mm. So I think it's NBA 2K21, where current gen consoles, $59, $59.99. Mm-hmm. Next gen consoles, though, and it's not, a lot of the games are doing like that step up, or if you buy it for this console, I forgot what they're calling it. Yep. But you buy it for this console, automatically gets upgraded for the next console. You don't have to buy anything new. Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing it where, nope, none of that, but next gen console, $70, period.
I mean, it fortunately or unfortunately makes sense. I mean, the price point had to change at some point. And we talked about this last week, was how long has it been sitting at that $59.99 price point?
It makes sense. I mean, as much as it sucks, you think about it, and it's just inflation, production cost. At some point, you knew I was going to come.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, though, it actually gives even more incentive for indies, because it's an even bigger price point now between AAA titles and indies. And if anything, indies might even be able to increase their price a little bit, because you have that bigger price increase up to that $70 threshold.
I wouldn't say they would want to increase their price, so to speak. I think that they would be able to maybe get more attention on it simply because of the price point.
Fair enough.
That it's at. Which, of course, we support our indie developers out there. Always keep an eye on them. But speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, every single week we like to give a shout out to all those amazing people that have supported Alter Confusion. So let's just run down a quick list of them. So first off, we have the Indie Cluster. The Indie Cluster is an organization of independent game developers that want to gain exposure by being involved in the community. They collectively journey to popular conventions, conferences as a traveling booth to help gain attention for their games. They make partnerships in local communities to bring games to the mainstream mindset. They highlight local, unusual, and rare concepts to challenge the paradigm of the common. They also host events to teach kids and minority groups about game development to hopefully one day enter the industry themselves. This, of course, is run by a gentleman by the name of Ron Jones, a huge supporter of Alter Confusion, also an amazing guy. So definitely check out the Indie Cluster. The next shout-out, of course, has to be Hero Chiropractic. Hero Chiropractic is a unique healthcare practice set up by Ryan Moore. The company's focus to elevate a patient's experience of freedom, creative expression, and joy. They believe that everyone can be a hero and has increased heroic potential inside themselves, waiting to be unleashed. Hero Chiropractic focuses on mobile chiropractic care in the greater Atlanta area. They are committed to healing clients by creating a plan of action uniquely suited for each person. They make the plan of action as convenient and affordable as possible, and most importantly, suited to your individual needs. And of course, Hero Chiropractic has been my chiropractor for over 3 years. Ryan's the best, so if you're in the Atlanta area, you definitely need to check him out. Now, we mentioned this before, but we're going to shout out again. This, of course, is all about Nürburgring Games, because, of course, we have a Nürburgring Con online coming up in, was it August? Did I say August?
You said, I don't remember what you said.
Hold on,
that was a long time ago.
Nürburgring Games Con online is going to be August 14th through 16th. Nürburgring Games is the game development imprint. Nürburgring Games is the game design imprint of award-winning RPG designer Craig Campbell. Craig has done a whole bunch of RPG design freelancing in the past. Several years ago, he dove into designing his own RPG. Now, Nürburgring Games has multiple RPGs and is showing no signs of stopping. Nürburgring Games endeavors to create games that explore corners of the RPG landscape that haven't been explored, or haven't been explored very often. These games forego dense gaming mechanics in favor of lighter rule sets that allow players to focus on telling fun, engaging, memorable stories. The three games that, of course, come to mind for us, especially for Alter Confusion, are Capers, Die Laughing, and Mers and Acquisitions. Mers and Acquisitions, of course, was Zelius and my, introductory into Nürburgring Games, and, of course, the mind and potential awesomeness that Craig Campbell can give you.
And he's also a great DM, which really helps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's one of those DMs that it's really hard to trip him up.
He knows how to go with
the flow.
You try to trip him up, and he just throws it right back at you and knows how to do it without also being a dick about it.
And case in point is that I'm a little bit of a outside-the-box gamer, and so I always try to throw, curveballs, and Craig's never stumbled. He's kind of just going like, okay.
Like, I remember we were playing, and we were, like, in the alley, attacked by the Mimic. And Charlie didn't have one on him, but he's like, I'm going to throw a Molotov cocktail at the Mimic.
Like, I stole the liquor bottle from the homeless man that was in the alley. I created a Molotov cocktail.
Even though there was no cloth or fire around.
No. I took it off the homeless man. Uh-huh. I lit the Molotov cocktail, threw it into the Mimic, which was a dumpster, but then failed a save check. And the Mimic picked me up and threw me inside the flaming dumpster.
But like a lot of DMs, when you're like, I'm creating a Molotov cocktail, even though it wasn't like actually in your inventory and throw it out, would have been like, is that in the rule set?
Yeah. All the more reason to check out Nürburgring Con online, because if he's DMing anything, I want in. Like, it's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, the last one that we want to do a quick shout out for is something that really doesn't need our help, but we still love them dearly, and that, of course, is Battle and Brew. Battle and Brew is Atlanta's first and oldest gaming bar and restaurant. Opened in 2005, Battle and Brew had a very modest menu, a few beer taps, and focused heavily on gaming. Now, they have grown to encompass so much more. They pioneered geek trivia in Atlanta and remain the hardest trivia in town. They have upgraded the menu from only a few items to all your bar favorites and some soon-to-be favorites. They've expanded the gaming and keep everything top of the line. They've taken a great place and made it an even greater place. A place where the staff listens to your desires and suggestions. A place where you and your friends feel like you're at home. A place where everyone knows your game.
I'm still sad that their beer menu is not quite as large as it was years ago.
However, their drink menu has grown. And as I've stated many, many times, if you go there, have the mana potion, but understand that it does not taste like alcohol. But you drink a couple of those and you are set.
Was it Black Friday that we went?
Yes, it was Black Friday. That was,
and they had the sales.
That was so much fun. They basically had like a Black Friday type of thing where they would discount a specific drink for an hour until it ran out. And oh, man.
And the blue mana potions did run out.
Yes, but they were delicious.
They are very and they come like an actual mana bottle. I actually want one of those for home now.
I know. I need to reach out and figure out how to get one of those myself. Now that we've done our shout out to the friends, let's do a couple of personal shout outs. And that, of course, is Alter Confusion is many things. And that, of course, is we're an independent video game news review website based here in Atlanta, Georgia. We've been on since 2007, so that's now 13-ish years.
That's a long time, man. That's a long time.
Yes, it is. So let's start off with telling you about Patreon. Alter Confusion has a Patreon account that, of course, is Patreon is a way to allow fans to become active participants in the work they love by offering by us, the creators, offering them monthly memberships. These memberships can give access to exclusive content, community, and insight to our creative process. In exchange, of course, we will be able to do so much more with what we could do with Alter Confusion, be it a lighting, conventions, equipment, whatever. We have two tiers right now. The two tiers are, it starts at $1 and it goes, and you know, of course, you can donate as much money as you would like. It is a monthly donation, but there are only two designated tiers at this time. The first one is for $1, and that basically, we love you dearly, and
love all of our viewers, though, regardless of their Patreon.
Absolutely.
Input.
Now, if you are a patron at any level, you do gain the audio channels for Discord. So that's something to look at. That's the dollar thing. And then if you go up to the $5 tier, that's when you get into the name of your organization or whatever gets into the thank you section of our show. So if you're willing to donate $5 a month, that's when you get into that section, of course.
So once you thank yourself in the comments. You should be thanking yourself in the comments then.
Yes.
I mean, you give more than $5 a month to Alter Confusion, so you should be like the number one Patreon.
Oh, I am number one patron and supporter and follower and lover and fighter and minion.
Do you fight yourself? I'm very confused now.
Don't we all?
It depends how much I've drank tonight.
But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this is, you know, all the money goes to Alter Confusion. It helps, you know, keep the equipment updated and allows us to do. Tara Legging says no. I'm not exactly sure no for what, but I'm assuming fighting ourselves. But anyways, if you can, that's amazing.
For so many years.
Now, if you do want to go the Patreon route, and you want to donate more than $5. That is phenomenal. That's amazing. The one thing I will say is if you donate more than $5 a month, please, please make me aware of it. And I want you to get something special, because I don't feel I'm be blown away if you donate more than $5 a month. But I don't want you to not get something in return. I want it to be worth the amount of money you're sending.
I get more money. Can I get a Hawk and Steve comic?
For the love of God.
Hey, you just said you want.
I know.
You watch right at this.
If we get a certain amount of money, I will create a Hawk and Steve collection that we can put for sale. How about that?
Fair enough.
Now, that being said, of course, not everyone has the ability to give money on a monthly basis. We do have a PayPal one-time thing that you could, that you, if you're watching this on Twitch, all you got to do is go to the navigation box below here. There's a donate now button that goes straight to our PayPal account. Once again, only for Ultra Confusion.
Can't you just stop your Patreon payment like after 1 month?
You could. Do the same thing. You could, but it gets a little bit, I would recommend if you're just going to do a one-time deal, just to do it through PayPal, just so that there's no chance of accidentally getting charged extra. Because I don't, if you only want to do a one-time thing, just do it through PayPal. And if you want, you know, if you feel like, well, I donated $10 through the PayPal thing, it's not like you're donating $10 and you're not gonna get anything back. I will find a way to thank you in some regard.
Your sound Mountain Dew bottle.
If you want me to sign a Mountain Dew bottle, sure.
I sign Mountain Dew in a mana bottle.
Now we're cooking with grease. But anyways, if you want to go that route, that's awesome. Now, of course, there are individuals out there who want to send Ultra Confusion physical items. Now, I will preface this by saying, if you send us something, we want to be able to show it off. So
whoa. There's what? No we here.
Fine. I want to show it off. But please, if it is not relevant or it doesn't really match the flow of what Ultra Confusion does, I will unfortunately not be able to show it. But if you want, you know, if you got like a t-shirt, hats, whatever, Funko Pops, whatever your poison is, definitely you could send it to Ultra Confusion. By doing that, all you got to do is mail anything to 1551 Dunwoody Village Parkway. That's D-U-N-W. OODY Village Parkway. This is very, very important. You need number 88276. If you do not do the number 88276, that's the PO box number. If you don't include that, it'll go to the post office proper and then will be returned to you within 5 to 7 business days. The city, of course, is Dunwoody, Georgia. That's D-U-N-W-O-O-D-Y, Georgia. Zip code 30338.
I have an important question. Have you actually received stuff at the post office box that, like, you didn't want to show in Ultra Confusion?
I plead the fifth.
Intriguing. Now my curiosity is sufficiently piqued.
Well, I guess the Ultra Confusion team, I'm sure that you can find out if we have or if we have not. But anyways, I do want to do one other thing, and I wanted to do this after the Patreon simply because I felt weird talking about this before, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Confusion is doing something for the 9th straight year, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is we are doing Extra Life. Extra Life is gamers doing what they do best to help sick and injured children at their chosen Children's Miracle Network Hospital. Of course, Ultra Confusion's always going to be Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. All the money that we raise through Extra Life will go directly to the chosen Children's Miracle Network Hospital as unrestricted funds. This means that the hospital decides where and how to spend the money to ensure the dollars you raise make the biggest impact in the lives of the kids they treat. Once again, that will be in November. Ultra Confusion or myself have done 8 24-hour or 25-hour, depending, game-a-thons. I'm aiming for number 20 or the ninth one. And of course, I've currently set the goal at 250. If we reach 250, I'm going to increase the goal, and then I'll add some incentives to see if we can't do anything. Not as crazy as our buddy Noodle Boy.
Oh gosh.
I'm not going to take photo.
What is he doing this year?
Anime cosplay. That's not really me. But I need to find that video of.
Oh, you know what you should do is you all should have like a contest and basically do like last year where he had to do something at your discretion. It should be the other way around, mm-hmm. where, you know, if he reaches a certain goal, you have to do something at his discretion.
We'll see. He still has the crazy Ultra Confusion shirt, by the way.
I think it's fair that it goes both ways. It could be like an Ultra Confusion versus Noodle Boy media competition, and whoever raises the most money has to make the other person do the thing.
I'd be down for that.
And they're just like incentivized.
Well, I'll talk to Noodle Boy.
Fair enough.
All right. So anyways, once again, we'll be participating in Extra Life. And this is really, it's a thing that it's close to my heart. I've had to use the Children's Healthcare Atlanta. My sisters have, my kids have. So any way I could give back to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, I'm going to.
And specifically, this one goes to the Children's Hospital COVID-19 Impact Fund.
Yep. Which is even more important. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know we're almost out of time, but I do want to touch on something rather quickly. And that is the continuing saga that is shit's going down for streamers, especially on the Twitch platform.
What'd you do this time? What'd you do this time?
I didn't do anything. One of the very big name Twitch streamers, Dr. Disrespect, has been banned from Twitch again. There's no one really knows why. That's still a little bit up in the air. There's a shit ton of conspiracy theories. Most of them have been debunked. This guy, he... it's a gentleman who used to work for a game company. He basically puts on a persona where he puts on glasses, sunglasses, a mullet, and he's a very animated gentleman with lots and lots of catchphrases. But like I said, no one really knows why he was banned.
You don't have the secret sauce. You don't know a person in the know.
Sadly, no. But it is very interesting. His stream following is 1.5 million subscribers. So this is humongous. And with very little detail. Now I know that he got a temporary ban because he was at he did an in real life stream while at E3 a couple of years ago, I think, and kept the stream going when he went into the bathroom. Which of course is a big no-no.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you're invading people's privacy.
I wasn't being serious.
I know. But I just had to cover it. Anyway, so, I'll be very interested to see how the story ends.
But it's kind of interesting, though, because it's like these Twitch streamers, mm-hmm. like their entire life is basically broadcast for the public to see. Like everything's right there. For better or for worse, it's there for the masses to see, all 1.5 million followers. Yep. And yet he's banned and nobody really knows why. It's just kind of this weird juxtaposition where huge news and there's no definitive answer either way.
The really interesting thing is, and this was, let me see if I can read this here. During his final moments on his stream prior to June 26th, June 26th ban, it was odd to say the least. After referencing the conspiracy theorist David Eichel, appeared to check his phone, after which his demeanor changed and he appeared to be visibly distressed. He switched to a Roblox video before saying, "I appreciate everyone watching today. We'll get through this, Champions Club. I know it's tough. Life's weird right now. We'll get through this, okay?" And shit. He then runs the stream's credit and ends it. And then shortly after, his channel completely disappears off of Twitch. So I'm not
going to... Could not begin to speculate.
Now, the The other story, and this is really sad. The other story about Twitch is that a prominent Twitch streamer has unfortunately passed. The individual who goes by the gamer tag of Wreckful. He was a former top World of Warcraft player. Has unfortunately taken his life.
Mm.
Which is, you know, he had come out in previous years to talk about his struggles with depression and mental health, and expressed a desire to help others through the process. Unfortunately, you know, I know I say this many, many times, but individuals, anybody out there who's feeling like they're alone, you are not alone. There are many, many people in the same position as you. There is a national suicide prevention hotline that you can reach if you're in the U.S. It's 1-800-273-8255. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help.
And obviously, it seems like reading about it's been going on for a long time for this guy. It's not like it's something new. And it's just sad that couldn't find the help.
The thing is, and it's difficult to understand this, but there are a lot of people going through problems and issues. And sometimes the unfortunate thing is we do nothing until it's too late. And, you know, like, please, if you're in this position, in this mindset, you know, people love you. It's okay to ask for help. Now, on an upbeat moment, real quick, this is really painful to go on from this, but some of you might have noticed, I might have just did it on the Facebook page, but I might also have done it on Discord. There was a free webinar by one of the most famous voice actors out there, Steve Blum. And so I was like, yes, I'm going to do this. And so I watched it. It was an hour long. It was really like, he gave you an overview of voice acting and then basically sold his service. It's a monthly service. It's about $100 a month, and you get access to a live, you get to be part of the live show once a month, and then you get access to the entire back catalog. And of course, because I was, you know, I attended this thing, the first month was going to be $49.99.
Ooh, what a deal.
So I've signed up. And for here's the thing. Let me just preface this by, I am not being sponsored by Bloomvox Studios. I would love to. This man is like a freaking god to me. But it has been eye-opening to learn about his struggles and to gain the advice he gives about how to be yourself, how to love your voice, how to be ugly and still be okay with it. Because the fact of the matter is, when you're trying to do a lot of voices, chances are you're going to contort your body. You're not going to look pretty, and you got to be okay with that. The other thing, which was really cool, was during one of the back catalog lessons, was actually a guided meditation, which was phenomenal for me. It may not work for everyone, but it's, to be honest with you, even if I only stick around for this month, just having access to this and seeing, I guess, peeking behind the curtain to his process and what he goes through and recommendations of, you know, his creativity is awesome.
So you've already tried to take advantage of some of the videos posted on there?
Yeah, I have watched seven of them.
How long are the videos?
If you only watch the video and not the Q&A, it's usually about up to 40 minutes.
Okay.
If you do the video with the Q&A, it's about an hour, and then they have an additional Q&A video that they'll do later that isn't live. It's basically just the remaining questions he will try to answer them in a video format, so there won't be a back and forth, because that's the really cool thing, is that that once a month, that live show, you can actually talk to him and he will have a conversation with you and it'll be part of the video.
You should see if you can get him a guest on Alt Confusion, yo.
God, I wish. that would be like, that would be a bucket list thing. This guy,
I think you're man crushing is what it's called.
Dude, I am man crushing. But I got to hear about how when he walked into the sound booth for the very first time for Cowboy Bebop, all he could think of is they got the wrong person. I can't do this. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And now we're still talking about Cowboy Bebop. It's like 20 plus years later. I mean, he's iconic. He also holds the Guinness World Book record for the most video game voices. So there's that too. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our Thursday night show. I do want to point out that we do this every Thursday night from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
7 o'clock Central Time.
To about 9:15-ish p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have any questions that you would like for us to cover, topics, thoughts, just drop them to us either in a chat or on one of our social media destinations, and we will try to cover them as best as possible. Our preference is that you give it to us as early as possible so that we can research. The more we could research about something, especially if it's a little bit obscure, the better. Although,
wait, you do research? What's that?
It's this amazing thing where you try to learn about what you're talking about so you don't look like a complete moron.
I prefer just winging it and totally screwing it up.
That's what you got B for, Zelius.
For you to screw it up? Aww.
No. For me to carry you if you try to wing it. I'm kidding. Anyway, so, but seriously, if you have any topics, thoughts, questions, whatever, you can hit us up through any of our social media means. We've got a Facebook page. We've got Twitter. We've got Twitch. We've got Instagram. We, of course, have Patreon. And we have a Discord channel if you want a link to that. Just hit us up and we'll give you the link. It's a private community. I probably should not have set it up that way, but that's how it is. And unfortunately, you can't switch private to public for some reason.
That's bizarre.
Yes, it is very bizarre. It's the same thing that is quite the head scratcher of, if you change the tiers on Patreon, you can't move a patron from one tier to another, even if they're going to get a better deal because they signed up for that specific tier. So, Alter Confusion only had a $1 tier, and then we added a $5 tier. Those individuals who are pledging more than $5, in order for them to show up as a $5 tier, they have to cancel and then resubscribe, which is just ridiculous.
That is so confusing, man.
But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to point out that I have been trying to stream more. When I do my random streams, it's going to be on YouTube and Twitch. I'm trying to avoid Facebook. For obvious reasons. And if you don't understand those reasons, I'm sure you can figure it out. But that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Alter Confusion Thursday Night Hangout. For myself, Charlie, and Zelius, it's been a pleasure giving you everything coming out of our heads, our mouths, and of course, our hearts. We'll be back next Thursday for another Alter Confusion Thursday Night Hangout.
Remember, kids, keep on gaming in the free world.
Amen to that, brother.